girls gotta get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some neck up on it. While I stand up in the background and check up on it.
Hello, and welcome to the TryGames.net podcast, episode 31. It is Sunday, January 7th, 2007. We're in the future right now. We're in the new year. We didn't do a year-end podcast because, frankly, people are more important than you guys, but that's okay.
We were all drunk.
What?
We were all drunk.
This and other things. So this episode 31, we're just going to go over, since we didn't have a year-end podcast, we're going to go over, you know, what we thought of 2006 and what 2007 should bring, hopefully. But first, as usually, wow, that's great English from an Asian man. As usual, we're going to start off with what people are playing and what they're looking forward to. Ethan, go!
Oh, yeah! I'm playing the new Splinter Cell Double Agent.
Mm-hmm. Is it buggy?
No. Not anymore. Really? Well, yeah, I mean, the patch helps.
Uh-huh.
I don't have any real problem. Like, there's no more bugs than kind of the standard, you know, Splinter Cell frame rate problem when the lighting stuff and the real shit starts to fly. And I don't think it's my PC. So there may be some issues with performance, but I don't know. I'm going to get another video card of the same one and do the SLI stuff and see if it goes away. So I'll report back as to that stuff. But no major bugs. Like, it doesn't crash. It's good.
With regards to the lighting and shit, crashing shit, I've heard that, and I don't. This probably doesn't make sense to say this, but in PC Magazine, I think PC Gamer, they said that it requires a DirectX 9C card, I think, or card's capable of that. But if not, that may be the problem.
No, it is. It's capable.
Then again, at the same time, I don't think it would run at all if it didn't have DirectX 9C. So I honestly don't know. But
it's capable of 9C, and
okay.
So I don't think it's that, but I do put on the shader option in graphics,
uh-huh,
which gives it a good 30-40 second. Extra load time. Have you ever done that?
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You check the box and then it loads you into the mission, but then it stops and loads those shaders because it's like so much extra shit that it wants to load in your video RAM.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even bother loading anything if you uncheck it, and you have to check it even if your machine is awesome. It won't put that on by default. And I'm wondering if I'm really kind of asking for it when I do something like that.
Well, if you uncheck it, you'll probably see all these flat shaded shit.
Well, no. When I uncheck it, it looks great.
It does.
Yeah, it does. It's just that it's like the shaders look. It just makes the contrast between light and dark more fine tuned, like really, really clear. I can tell when a shadow ends and when it doesn't. You know what I mean?
Oh, so it's taking away soft shadows if you uncheck shaders.
I guess so. I don't know what the hell it's doing, but it looks better. and I know that it's
unchecking or checking shader.
Checking shader looks better.
Right.
And it
I was
and
gonna
it.
Say, if...
Yeah, there's two shaders you can check. Mm. I checked the one with the higher version number just because I'm a dick, and it looks great. It's just, I don't know. Maybe when I check that box, I might be asking for too much performance that my machine can handle. I don't know. I'm gonna check when I get the other video card. There really should be nothing else I could do. I mean, it's not. I don't think it's regular processor. I think if anything, it's video card.
Does it look like a how much of a leap does it look over previous Splinter Cells?
A little bit. It's not like a different game, but it looks a little bit better. There are some the faces are better, mm-hmm. The cutscenes are better. I know that really doesn't matter, but they are. Right. But even like the look of the characters are a little bit more fine tuned.
Okay.
The environments are different. There's a lot more brighter environments because at least so far I've only played a couple missions that. The brighter stuff looks really good, whereas in the old one you'd have like these rooms where there'd be like a dark corner and a light bulb on and a security guard, and you'd be like, how the fuck could he not see me in the real world?
Right.
Where in this one it's a little bit more realistic in terms of light, I would think.
Right. And I guess that's why they made it more of an infiltration thing where you don't have to be hiding all the time.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it makes for kind of a different experience, but there's still plenty of stealth stuff, at least from what I can tell. I don't really know. But the game looks great. It's fun to play. There's a couple new things you can do. That's really good. And I like the story. I really like the fact that you basically have moral choices throughout the game. Whereas you kind of had that in the old games where you could kill people or kind of decapitate them.
Incapacitate.
Thank you. Incapacitate them. I wish you could. Yeah, I wish they had decapacitate move, but
decapitate to pacify. Oh,
yeah, God, but in this one, those choices are larger, and no other game really has done that yet. Where the choices you make are kind of on a global moral scale. I really, really like that. So it's a little bit more free-forming as opposed to walking through each mission really linearly.
A to B, right.
The maps aren't as... you still have to complete objectives kind of in a certain order, but they're not as, like, linear where you have to go from this room to that room, and if you look at the map, there's really a clear path.
I gotcha.
And that's it for that game, pretty much.
See, I feel like I want to get the two versions of Double Agent, the Xbox one,
yeah,
and either the 360 or the PC version, because like I said a couple of weeks ago, they're two different versions. Like the 360 and PC versions,
yeah,
are this one game, and the Xbox version is another game.
Yeah,
like they're the same premise.
Yep,
they've got similar storylines, but not exactly the same, and the maps are somewhat different. And I'm just like, A, why would they do that? B, get me both of them.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that they should might as well go ahead and like port both to everything then. If one, you know, I don't understand it. I'd like to get both as well and take a look.
You know what I think? I think they did that because they felt that if they just downported the PC or 360 version down to the regular Xbox, people will kind of be like, oh, well, I'm getting ripped off. I'm getting a shitty port.
Yeah.
So they decided, hey, let's give last gen people some kind of. Let's give him a pass. Let's give him
something
a
valuable
version.
Yeah, yeah, that could be.
But then that makes someone like me who has both mad.
Yeah,
I want it.
Well, you can buy one now and then wait till the price drops and get a cheaper one later.
That's true. Or I could just play Wii Sports.
Wii Sports is fun.
What else have you been playing?
That's kind of it. I finished.
You didn't open the Rainbow Six.
I still haven't opened it.
You
whore. I was gonna open it yesterday. I was like so gung ho, and then I got just caught up in the Splinter Cell stuff, and I just played it. I couldn't stop.
Well, if you're sacrificing Rainbow Six for Splinter Cell, that's a decent excuse.
I know.
If you're sacrificing it for like chess or work, then I would have slapped you.
No, never.
And what are you looking forward to this year? Which is kind of tough because we're at the beginning of the year, and there's a whole ton of shit that's like. Out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Total Annihilation sequel, and for some reason I keep forgetting its name.
Supreme Commander!
Yeah, Supreme Commander. Supreme Commanders, I'm really looking forward to the dual screen action. I really want to see an RTS with and two monitors and see how it works. So far, from what I've seen, I'm pretty let down by the graphics. Not to say that they're not good, and not that I'm all about graphics, but that if you look at the teams, they divide it so clearly by color that it may make it. I think they're trying to make it so it's really easy to tell what unit is what and what team is what. But I think they're taking away from like detail and units. They all look a little boring. I'll wait till the actual game comes out. Yeah. But some of the screenshots have been a little bit depressing, and I have no thoughts on the gameplay because nothing's been out.
How zoomed in are the screenshots? Because when you deal with what the kind of scope that Chris Taylor is going for. Is it Chris Taylor? Yeah. The kind of scope that he's going for.
Yep.
If you make it too detailed, then even a machine like yours would be like...
No, absolutely. You know? But I'm talking about on the close-ups. The other thing I'm a little disappointed is when I've seen the screenshots that I've seen that are zoomed all the way back, it's not that big. From what they're talking about, I'm expecting gigantic battles. I'm seeing max maybe 100 to 200 units on a screen at once. That's nothing.
I'm sure they haven't zoomed out all the way. But
either they haven't zoomed out, or they're just not showing it yet because it's. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
On the zoom in, I would say that it's kind of hard to expect anything, only because they would have to kind of redraw or just kind of pop in more detailed textures as you zoom in, and I think they would rather not make it cumbersome for the player when he zooms in that the game would kind of stutter and load these textures and load these shaders, and then it's like. Every time you zoom in, it's like, you can see the guys.
If they can't
zoom out,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, I've seen older games that look better. So, I'm not gonna.
With as much scope, though?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, not from the scope that I'm actually seeing. From the scope they talk about, they're talking about huge numbers of units. From the scope I'm seeing, I don't see a huge scope. I haven't seen a single screenshot with more than, 100 units on it.
Huh.
Now, given they only have, 4, 8, 12, 16, 20 screens.
Right.
And then, 20 are the real ones, and then they have, in detail, stupid screens of, people and stuff.
Are you looking at GameSpot?
Yeah, I'm looking at GameSpot right now.
I honestly don't think these are indicative of the entire thing, because if you've seen videos of it, they zoom out and they like show like fucking like a quarter of a globe or something insane.
Yeah,
like
no,
that.
They show a globe, but like you're not. I've not seen a screenshot where they're actually battling, where you see a bunch of units. The globe is like just a picture of the Earth.
No. But I mean, like they go to some mid level around roundabouts there, so you can actually tell the kind of stuff that they're going for. You know what I mean? They don't zoom all the way out,
yeah.
But they zoom out enough to show you, like, yeah, we can do this, and you can, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking. I don't see any of them.
I don't know if the beta is available outside of the media, but if you happen to trip on it, download it and give it a shot.
Yeah, Jeremy got it. He said it looked pretty good. He said it was pretty buggy, but obviously.
Oh yeah. It's I've heard the beta. A lot about the bugginess.
So I'm not going to comment, but like I just picked the screenshot that looks like it has the most units on it, and I see maybe 100 at the most, and I've just looked through every screenshot they have.
I honestly don't think I just honestly don't think, and I'm not trying to give them a pass, but I don't think these screenshots are indicative of what Chris Taylor is saying.
They can't be because they're reporting, you know, they're reporting huge numbers of units, and like I guess the screens, they're just not showing it. I don't know why.
Meh.
It still looks cool, but I rest all this on the gameplay, because Total Annihilation is still a good game now.
Right.
And if you play it now, it's still a good game, so I don't give a shit if the graphics blow ass. If he's making it, then I'll trust that it's going to be pretty good, but I just want to see this grand, huge-scale, massive thing. And I want to see the dual screen in action, which nobody's showing.
Oh, there's been no screens of that at all, huh?
Yeah, nothing. Not a single one.
Interesting.
If somebody knows, you can email mailbag at BragginsOn.
How do you spell that?
Mailbag, like the mail, like my penis. Bag with a bag. Try game spelled trygames.net.
Tony, what are you looking forward to? What are you playing? What are you back on?
Oh, well, not looking forward to anything new. I'm actually looking forward to buying, like, some of the old games. I know I passed on it, but I gotta buy Final Fantasy XII now.
Mm-hmm.
Just because everybody is saying that it's absolutely amazing, and, you know, sometimes you gotta believe the hype. If everybody's saying it, then it's gotta be true.
And you can skip the cutscenes.
That's important to me, because I don't want to watch the same shit twice. Final Fantasy X!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so...
I was very pleased. Did I tell you... I'm sorry to interrupt, but did I tell you when Al and I went to Digital Life and they had the demo out there? Al and I were like, skip the screen. Yes, we could skip it. And like, we went right to the gameplay.
Yeah.
And right at that point, I was like, you know what? This might not be that bad. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
From what I hear, the story is pretty damn good, too. And it doesn't have no love interest, which is so fucking cliche.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm getting that. I got to get God of War and God of War 2.
Oh.
I've got to get Okami. I've got to get what else? That's like a few games down the line that I just have to get.
Catching up on?
Yeah, that I definitely didn't have enough time either to play or enough money to buy. So definitely got to get those. And I got to get back to playing, what's that, Resident Evil 4 for my GameCube. You know, so I've yet to pass that because my handle broke. And mashing the A button for those different cutscenes was just not happening. So...
How far are you in it?
The beginning. It was. I'm at the point where they throw a rock down a hill and you have to run away from
the
rock.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Mash an A button, but the A button kept on sticking, so I kept like, "Aah! You die."
But so you've gotten far enough so that you get a feel of what the game has to offer.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I actually like that. It's just a plethora of enemies coming at once. You have
as opposed to zombies going.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, walking
but,
really
they're,
slow.
They're zombie-like in their own rights.
Right.
But they're
aggressive.
Yeah, there is an intelligence to them that is just ridiculous. Like the ones on the roof, they like pinpoint you, then they, you know, they kind of stare you down. They're like, yeah, come on, shoot me. You know what I'm saying? I got you, mother bird. So, I think this game is only going to get more and more crazy for me. And you know how much
it's
a pussy.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm a pussy. I'm not gonna, probably not going to
well,
finish it.
The thing is, it's not Silent Hill scary. It's not Resident Evil 1 scary. It's like. It's still ominous, it's still eerie, but it gives you just enough so that, you know, you're not too scared to finish it, you know what I mean? Like,
but let me
it's
ask
still
you
it's still thrilling.
Yeah, It's let me. Does the word scary ever come into your vocabulary of describing this game?
Four?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Yes and no.
Well,
yes
so
no.
long as it has yes, I'm going to be a pussy. I can't play.
God damn it, dude. You are pathetic.
Two lips in a bump.
You make me ashamed to be a man.
But you're not a man. So what are you playing right now, Tony?
Right now, I just finished beating Twilight Princess. So.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, very long game. Took me 51 hours and 7 minutes. And cool. I'm doing it all over again because I think I could get a better time.
Ah.
So right now, I am, I would say, about 60% done with it again.
Oh,
but
wow.
Now I'm taking the time to do like the little mini missions. You know, the side quests and stuff like that. Because I'm missing all but 4 heart containers and a whole bunch of other stuff, like the adult wallet and, you know, just like 2 skills that I didn't pick up during the game. I don't know why.
Oh, some of the skills are optional? Like they don't all come to you?
I don't know. I mean there's other secrets in this game that I obviously did not find.
Right, but I mean, like, you didn't need those skills to finish the game. I found that surprising.
No, not necessarily.
I find that surprising and actually cool.
Yeah, the last 2 skills, like, you know, in all honesty, there are some skills you could just do without. Okay?
Right.
Like, to me, the most important skills are the backslice, the shield. I didn't need the helm splitter. But definitely the death blow, final blow, that is awesome. That right. I absolutely needed. To begin with.
You know why I guess I'm surprised is because when I heard skill, I started thinking of Metroid where you need those special
items. No.
And this is totally different, I guess.
No, it's not like you need the skill to open a door or to defeat this type of enemy.
That's what the special items are for.
Yeah. And the weaponry is kind of wacky. I'm not trying to spoil it, but like very, very inventive items that you find throughout this thing.
I heard there's a dreidel of death.
Ethan will be pleased.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you could call it that. But you know, it's not exactly. But and yeah, it's the spinner thing. You know, you know, Ethan would be happy with that. It'll mesmerize him for hours on end.
Hell yeah.
He bought the game. He's not even gonna play it.
Nope.
You're such a puss. What the? Why do you even buy the game? I don't understand.
Because, look, I gotta take
my
time. I'm playing games. I don't know what to tell you. I play them as fast as I can.
No, you play one specific game when you have games.
This is what I do. This is what I do. When I get hooked into a game, that's all I play. I will play that game.
And you buy 4 more as you're playing that one.
Yeah, well, because I want to make sure that I have games backed up when I'm done. I never know when I'm going to finish.
Yeah, and then before you know it, the vacation's over and you played shit.
You know what? My vacation is never over.
No, I don't know why. Why don't you tell me?
I just told you. You didn't listen, so go fuck yourself.
All right, I suppose I'll go. Are you done, Tony?
What?
I want to add one more real quick. Ghost Recon 2 is coming out in March. Thanks, later.
Which one? Tattoo?
Ghost Recon 2. Advanced Warfighter 2.
Ghost Recon Tattoo.
Grotoo.
Tattoo, the video game.
I have been playing... Actually, and this one game caused me to turn on the PSP.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimately for the first time in months, because this system has had no games. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anyone says. It's
ooh, don't
been
tell me you got
terrible.
It.
Huh?
Don't tell me you got the Star Wars.
What, the Lego?
No. Actually, Valkyrie Profile, which is a...
Oh, Valkyrie Profile.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is basically, like, I own the original PlayStation version, mm-hmm. but I never managed to play it.
Right.
And I figure, you know, since, you know, I can take this thing around with me on the mm-hmm. subway and shit, you know, it's mm-hmm. perfect. And lo and behold, I've already... logged 15 hours into this without even blinking.
Wow, dude. Wow.
It's all because this whole shit is portable. Like
it's a Valkyrie Profile Lenith, right?
Yes, yes. Okay. It is a port of the first PlayStation mm-hmm. game, and it's just playing through it makes me sad that I didn't get to play through it, or that I didn't choose to play through it in the beginning, because like it's very good.
Really?
It's good. It's definitely not for everybody who likes Japanese RPGs, because even then, it's different from most Japanese RPGs. The bad points are that, like, well, you got story dialogue segments, and normally I'm just like, I will take text over cinematics because I can read the text fast and skip mm-hmm. through it.
Right.
The text comes out in, like, 1 or 2 lines at a time really
mm-hmm.
slowly,
mm-hmm.
and some of the text is also unskippable. So I'm sitting there going,
oh,
like,
God.
if you're going to do this to me, then I'd rather watch cinematics because I can't skip it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of like it's very – it falls into a pattern very quickly. You just like basically – Tony, how far have you gotten into it?
I have never played it. I read reviews on it. I saw the review on G4 TV.
Mm-hmm.
And they pretty much gave it – I'm not sure if they gave it a 2 or 3 just because it was a PS1 port. But at this point, if you're going to put a great game on a PSP, no matter where it came from, I don't care. I don't care if it's a carbon and copy. If it's a
great
game,
I'll take
it.
It's a good game. I totally agree. I think they're stupid for that. A good game is a good game.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, totally.
If it ages poorly, that's a different story. But I don't think this is aged poorly at all.
Exactly.
I think this is, but like the pattern it falls into is basically the entire game is comprised of a set number of periods.
Mm-hmm.
You have. I don't know how many, but like there's X amount of periods before the game ends.
Okay.
And the whole premise is that, you know, as a Valkyrie, your job is to go down to Earth,
right,
and find warriors or other people who have died, take right. their souls so that they can fight
for your side, yeah.
Right, fight for your war because I don't know whoever's familiar with Norse mythology, but the basis of Norse mythology the basis of Norse mythology is that, you know, the good guys, the gods, are fighting kind of like a hopeless war.
Mm-hmm.
And like they, you know, so in this game, the whole premise is you're trying to build up the troops for your, you know, for the good guys, for the gods to help win this war.
Right.
So you start off, you know, flying around the world and finding places to find people. You find people, you see their story cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add them to your party, and then you go find a dungeon to just fight enemies in.
Mm-hmm.
You get out of the dungeon, you go find a town, go to a town, find another person, go to another dungeon, fight in the dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
Find more people, go back in the dungeon. Find more people, you know what I mean? So it's very. It goes
my
to
dad
a very
used to do to me.
It goes into a very regular pattern, and like if it weren't for the battle system, I'd be like, okay, this game is just like a dungeon crawler, and I can't
right.
stand it.
Uh-huh.
But the battle system is so freaking amazing. Like, it plays out like a quasi-fighting game.
Okay.
Because you've got your four guys who are each mapped to a face button.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, in, like, Final Fantasy, you choose fight, and the guy goes and walks back. Magic. Cast a spell. Fight. You know, this one, the instant you press the face button, the character that corresponds to that face button, like, jumps out and does an attack. And, like, there are physics to it. So, some characters will, like, knock enemies down flat on the ground. Some will knock them up into the air. And like you can kind of chain together combos so that, you know, you get one guy attacking, knocking him up into the air, and then getting another guy attacking, knocking him back down to the ground, and then you just pummel him while he's on the ground. So it's kind of action-based. It's very timing-based, very action-based, and like I said, it feels kind of like a fighting game, so it makes it really exciting.
That's cool.
And grinding to gain levels is fun in this game because of the battle system. Like, it's incredibly fun. And then there's this whole weird shit where, like, if you chain together enough hits successfully and you build up the combo meter or something like that, you get to do this really insanely crazy special attack, which allows you to do 3 more special attacks in succession if you know what you're doing. So, like I said, it's like a fighting game contained within an RPG.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very not boring when it gets to that part. But outside of the battles, it's like, how much am I going to have to read again? So that gets kind of annoying. Yeah, that's mostly what I've been playing. I haven't been, like, sitting at home enough to actually finish my stupid Ocarina of Time.
Right.
But that's about all that I play.
Jesus Christ, dude.
That's about all that I play if I'm, you know, sitting down in front of the console and it's not Wii Sports. Because I need to finish that.
Get ready for Austin's review on Ocarina of Time later
this year. In 2008.
Yeah, damn.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah, man, that sucks, Ethan, even though you've never played any of them.
That's
right. I don't
care.
Listen, I play games my way, on my terms, and I'm not going to set any timetable.
You diarrhea in your mouth.
Ethan? Yeah, to quote Ethan, I don't care if she's my sister. My balls don't care.
Diarrhea in her mouth.
Oh, man, what the hell was that from?
That was our old shit. Let's
damn.
Not bother.
Moving on to what I'm looking forward to, I'm looking at the release list from GameSpot, and I didn't realize this, but Lost Planet for the Xbox 360 is coming out next week.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't cleared my backlog to buy it, but I'll probably buy it. Okay. Unless it's $60, in which case I'll wait for some kind of deal to come out.
No, it's going
to
be $60.
No, Austin, buy it right now and leave it on your shelf like I do for a couple months and then play it.
Yeah, and then it'll go back to $40 and then you'll be like, well, I bought it at $60, never played it.
Yeah, but you know what? He's supporting the industry.
I don't approve of incest, so why would I approve of any weird shit idea that you have? No, I'm going to wait till it goes down in price.
The bulls don't care.
Hey!
Oh, that. Okay, well, that's that for that shit. Let's go on to... Let's start off by, you know, I guess doing a year in review, 2006, what we thought. Best, worst, whatever. Oh, I assume nothing too good for you, huh?
Year in review, work, school.
I had
school,
a lot of
sleep,
work this
work,
year.
School.
That's cool.
I mean, industry-wise, like news or, you know, I mean, two consoles did release, after all. And
there's a lot of Jack Thompson shit.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yes. There's so much to talk about. I don't know if we'll have the time to do so.
I want to talk about everything. Just, you know, your highs and your biggest highlights and your lowest lowlights, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I guess the biggest highlight was, starting, you know, being added to this podcast in, May of 2006?
Yay!
Yeah, that gave me total forum to just rank on people and games and, you know, just like... You know, have fun in general with my hobby over here.
To clear out.
And, you know, I gotta say, honestly, it's almost like I wasn't even born for video games up until I was doing the podcast.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. It was like, yeah, I played the video games, but there's no real outlet. You know, I don't really go on, you know, chat rooms. I don't blog. I don't do anything like that. You know, so this
That's because nobody
forum.
Lets you.
Mom used to beat me when I did that. Yeah, no, I'm saying... Ah! In general, Ethan's boring. I can't talk to him for shit.
True that.
He
ain't lying.
Like, what?
Nothing.
I really have fun. Just like hearing about the whole industry, the news and stuff, a lot of facets that I didn't really pay attention to.
Well, that's a shame because as of yesterday, you're fired. No kidding. Go ahead.
Lame
Continue.
Joke.
You just crushed him.
You sound very desecrated. I was only kidding. I don't mean that. Come back.
Anyway,
please come back.
Anyway, as I was saying, there's a lot of aspects of the video game industry that I was not, not clued in on.
Like
and,
Jack Thompson.
You know, listening to you, Al, not necessarily Ethan. I've been given a perspective of the video game industry that I did not know before. So I could say that although I played video games, it wasn't until I started doing a podcast that I really started playing video games that I noticed, you know, stuff.
Well, we've got a whole other year to notice some more stuff, so.
Sure. Like, this, how would I know about Jack Thompson other than what news people say and then I go, oh, what the
He fuck? Would probably get on TV and, like, start flashing his
balls.
Well,
no, he was on TV, and,
flashing
you know, and I was like, what the fuck? But without a forum... It's like, that's all. That's where it ends. I just say, what the fuck, and then I go and take a shower. You know? So,
I feel dirty.
Jack Thompson flashed me.
Oh, so God.
That's all it was, you know? But now we have free reign to go and totally bitch out Jack Thompson. And that's great. And I love doing that, and I live for it. And then we have other things to talk about, like the nonsensical PS3, you know, which was a huge low light during last year. Huge. Gigantic. You know, so... In general, PS3, to me, still is a stupid investment. Really, really stupid investment. For $600...
Unless you were the first one in line and you could get out to eBay really fast.
Even then,
really
it's a
fast.
stupid investment.
Hey, not to the guy who sold it for $10,000.
I'm saying as a gamer...
Oh, yeah, yeah,
gamer,
yeah, yeah.
It's a stupid investment. It is hugely retarded. You don't even get a game... I don't know how many times I could express this, okay? For $600... for $600, you don't even get a game.
Ricky
you
Bobby,
get,
man.
You
Ricky
get
Bobby,
the legend
bitch.
Of fucking Bobby, Ricky, Mikey, John, fucking driving cars, sucking dick. That movie
Cubic
sucks.
Hair.
Yeah, I wouldn't see it in the theaters. They're gonna push it for a $600 machine, you know. So, you get one handle to play no games. I mean, serious. You know what the fuck? And they don't even add like component cables so that you could actually utilize the supposed system's power. And to top it all off, I'm sure I've sent everybody the review of Gundam Crossfire. Did you see how fucking horrible that game looked? Oh my god. For
$600? That was like one of the worst games of the year. That and like Bomberman X-Zero for the 360.
Oh yeah, the remake of Bomberman.
And
yeah,
then some weird-ass Bratz game for the GameCube. I forgot what it was, but like,
fuck that.
God. I'm just saying, like, the ones that score like a negative shit, you know.
My god.
This game gets shit 0.5.
Exactly. The highlight of last year is unintentionally buying the Wii.
That was great.
Yeah, that was really
You were just
fucking
online,
funny.
Like, I'm not going to buy it.
I want all the people waiting online past midnight, you know, being dumbasses to buy a game system that I'll probably wait 2 months and buy it at my own convenience without all the hassle. And that's what I thought I was going there to see. Instead,
and then we got the media
I got
passes.
Wrapped up in a pandemonium. I was like, what? They have them here. I could get one.
But you also realize that because we were able to get in, like, I think that if we were just covering the thing outside and
right.
you had a choice between waiting online and not, you probably wouldn't have gotten one, which,
oh,
is, which is nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't like waiting online, and I had to for my pre-order.
Yeah.
God, that was fucking funny. Oh, man.
I gotta say, like, they did not run a tight ship there at all.
No, they didn't.
And I'll actually go into that as one of my lowlights. But go ahead, Tony.
Sure.
Going.
Yeah, it just unintentionally buying the Wii, which turned out to be a really kick-ass system. And I gotta say, I got my money's worth out of this system. Maybe we had this prior conversation about the price of the Wii. Not necessarily that it should have been $250, and I totally agree. And Austin brought up some very, very good points for it. But let's just put it this way. For $250, I got a system that I'm perpetually having fun with. And not only that, even if it wasn't for the games that are specific for the system, the backwards compatibility is just totally awesome for this. It comes with its own handle ports for the GameCube handles, for the GameCube memory card. I don't even need to open up my GameCube anymore, ever.
You can, like, put it away, save some space.
Yeah, forever. And you know, and I got all these games for the GameCube. This is the system that I'm playing. I'm playing nothing else, save for PSP when I walk out the house. But other than that, this is the system. So, very good highlight of 2006 for me. And, that's pretty much it.
Cool. Ethan?
Same.
Don't be biting off of my shit. Be original.
Well, Wii was definitely the event of the year, thanks to Austin's press passes. That was pretty fucking sweet. That Tony and I had Wiis in our hands before Alan Austin went back to the store at 6 a.m. to pick up theirs. God, that just made it even sweeter.
The worst part is that we probably would have had to go there anyway to, like, fucking cover it.
Yeah, I know. But it was kind of funny. It was pretty amazing to just be in there, have people run in, Tony and I look at each other, and kind of shruggingly go, shouldn't we just fucking grab some? You get Wiis, I'm going to get games, get online! And that was it.
That's great.
It was something in the air. It was a fever. It was like, you got all these people just, like, scratching tooth and nail to get this fucking system, and it's right there within our grasp.
I think what was also...
Why not?
Yeah, no, what was also impressive, especially when you cover an event like that, is how... When people get together for something that they enjoy, how nice they are to each other.
How
funny they are with each other. There was not a single incident. And all the incidents around the country that I heard were, like, before they actually got in the store. Once people get in the store and know that they're going to get one, all they are, like, best friends. It's hilarious. And the camaraderie among gamers was something kind of neat to see when you all converge around a really...
I like you, man, because I'm not going to have to kick your ass later.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, and I can't steal this system. I got mine. Because we didn't release 400,000 of these really, really expensive systems that nobody wants to buy to play.
Yeah.
Because you can't even play anything on it anyway. How many times am I going to stress this for you?
You know what's really funny? To Ethan's point about people being friendly, there was a webcomic out there comparing the PlayStation 3 and the Nintendo launches.
Mm-hmm.
The panel of the PlayStation 3, like, they drew a couple of stick figures, and, like, they're like, get the fuck off the line, man. No, this line is taken. There are no more units in store. Blah, 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 blah. And they're, like, you know, totally cursing out this one other guy who's trying to get in line.
Yeah.
And on the second panel for the Nintendo one, they were like, oh, my God, I'm sorry, you're late. There are no more units inside. Would you like to sit down with us and chat? We've got DSs. We can play with you.
Yeah.
And it was just like, what? Yeah. The thing is, like, according to, like, you know, a lot of people who commented on that comic, it's true. Like, when they went to launches, you know, when they went to their respective launches in their own cities, like, they experienced that. Like, some people were total assholes on the PlayStation line, but, like, pansies on the Nintendo line.
Well, I wouldn't put it that way. I mean, it might be interesting if somebody
I'm just giving people shit.
No, but it might be realistically interesting to have somebody do a study on the average level of education of a Nintendo player and the average level of education of a PlayStation 3 player.
Well, I could warp the study by just going onto Nintendo forums, because, like, they are some of the worst fanboys on the planet.
Fair enough.
I mean, I know, like, if we did a real study, like, you know, I'm sure that the results would be different, but if you just took a little petri dish of forum people,
yep,
like, the Sony and Microsoft people are stupid, the Nintendo ones are rabid.
Well, rabid in terms of their enthusiasm for the system?
Such to the point where the arguments that they make no sense.
Yeah,
at
but at
all,
least they're able to
no
make
merit.
An argument. I don't
no,
know.
They don't even make arguments. They just say, like, they just say, you're wrong. It's a fact. And it's like,
they're fanatics.
What? Fanatics, there you go. They're like the Raving Rabbits.
That's cool, but interestingly then, the most fanatical fans are not the ones that are punching each other in the face trying to get the new concept.
Right? There's a difference.
Ethan, all I'm saying is that, like, I just find it funny when I go into forums and I take the worst of the worst. Like, I don't think that's representative of the entire fan base as a whole. I'm just bringing that up because it's amusing to me.
It is amusing.
And Ethan, to get into that statement, to find the education level and stuff like that, I think that's an unfair generalization, only because when it came to the PS3, most of the people that actually waited days online, especially when there was like 1,000 people waiting for a system, or a store to open that only had 3 of them. I don't care. You could have been like, a white collared preppy, you know, being online. You are stupid. If you see 1,000 people online for a system that is probably going to have 3 in the store, you are stupid.
Tony, okay? I think that only exemplifies the need for the study. You get hardcore scientific evidence to prove your point.
Yeah, but there's other variables too, and that is.
Of course,
that,
there are other variables.
Yeah, the main thing is
size
that,
of penis, size of breasts.
Well, let's just
size
measure
of
that.
Brain and
the main thing
hairy
was
chests.
There was a supply and demand issue. We had units, okay? PS3 did not. Was there money to be made on the Wii? Probably very little.
Actually,
okay.
I got
no,
a little,
there was quite
something
a bit
to
of money
say about
the
Nintendo units. I'll wait till I go. But
oh, okay. Well, I'm saying, as far as profit, not that much on a Wii, huge on a PS3. Especially people are that dumb to pay that much money for
but
it.
But they're not.
Okay.
They're not. That price of that machine is not that high anymore.
What do you
it's
mean?
High for like a week. Nobody wants it. It blows.
Are you talking about on eBay?
Yeah.
Nobody wants.
How much are they going for on eBay now?
I honestly I don't know, but I will say this, like, well, first of all, Ethan, are you done? Because I don't want to cut into your...
I just wanted That's to right. say that for me, one of the bigger kind of things this year was Sony taking a huge financial hit for their kind of overall proprietary structure. I'm not just talking about PS3. I'm talking about, like, a lot of... You know, we've talked about this before. But
Sony as a corporation.
Sony is a corporation, and it kind of came to a head in 2003 when they had just shitty quarter after quarter, and they're just losing money, and their manufacturing systems suck, their batteries, their Blu-ray players, and then the PS3 kind of top it off. And one other thing, the hot coffee mod suite was awesome. and I hope to see more of it and nobody gets sued. And a game that I really like that came out this year was Hitman Blood Money, but I don't know if it got as much... fanfare as it should have, but I thought it was just a fucking awesome improvement over the last one.
Right.
That's it.
Well, what I was going to say about the launch is, and I guess I'm going to start off with the low lights, you know, for me was just seeing lack of supply of everything, and surprisingly I'm going to include Nintendo in that comment, because as much as we saw supply at the Toys R Us during launch, you wouldn't believe how many people had no chance of getting not even half of a console. Like, they couldn't even lick the cardboard box after the first week of launch. That thing was scarce. Because every time you got, like, set 10 boxes in the store, all sold out. All sold out.
That,
like,
that may have
right
been short-sightedness on their part. I mean, they may have not thought that it would be that much in demand.
I personally think, like, I remember we had this discussion regarding the PlayStation 3 about how they said, oh, you know, we're going to have a short supply, and they had a short supply. And I think, Ethan, at first you thought that they were just pulling on a marketing tactic because you didn't believe that the Blu-ray laser was that hard to manufacture. But I think later we all came to the conclusion that it was probably like they were just trying to bite off too much that they could more than they could chew. In Nintendo's case, look, this is GameCube hardware plus plus. That's all it is. GameCube plus plus with some more fancy shit. A little bit smaller.
Well, the remotes are kind of a big deal.
The remotes are a big deal, but like the remotes are actually in you know in good supply. I mean, those are you know in stores everywhere. But you look at that and you're like, oh yeah, we're gonna have 4 million units in the channel, blah blah blah, and they're nowhere after the first day or after the first week. They have to be holding back some supply. I think they're holding back some supply. Sony legitimately can't manufacture. Nintendo can, and they're just holding it back. For the holiday season, because like no one, like I was listening to the podcast everywhere, looking on forums, talking to people. Every time that someone said, "Oh, there's a shipment of this shit coming into Best Buy," lines. Not even at launch. After launch, weeks after launch, people were still lining up at Best Buy's because they heard that there was a shipment coming in.
Yeah, you still can't order them. Unless you get the gigantic bundle for like $600.
And meanwhile. Managing editor of Kotaku.com, Brian Crescente, says he saw like a stack of 31 PlayStation 3s at his local Best Buy in Denver. Just sitting there. No one was taking it. It was just sitting there like kind of lonely with its hand out like, hey, someone, anybody got some
food? Like a lonely Japanese tourist
anybody
with no
got
camera.
Some food? Help a homeless PS3 out? No, they were sitting
help
there
Will
on the
Farrell
open.
Out.
Huh?
Help Will Farrell out.
Will Ferrell out. But yeah, so it's like it's just kind of ironic that, you know, like Ethan, when you said nobody wants a PlayStation 3 and you asked me to check the prices on eBay, we didn't have to do that because there's a Best Buy that has 31 of them stacked up, not being touched. You know, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if I walked into a Best Buy today and found them sitting there. Though this is New York, and I think more people here are attached to the Sony brand. So I got to tell you, like, throughout the year, and I guess this is another one of my interesting points of this whole year. Throughout the year, you know, in New York, the ratio of PSPs to DSs or Game Boy Advances or whatever, like, that I see in the subway, like, and I'm exaggerating here, but it's like 100 to 1. Like, everybody who was playing a portable system, 9 out of 10 times, it was a PSP. And, like, I was the only person on the chain with a DS or Game Boy Advance. And I found that really interesting when you look at the sales numbers globally. Let's not even talk about Japan, but the DS is like doing better than the PSP in America.
Yeah,
it's more
popular. I don't get that either, but I kind of have the same thing. I see everybody with a PSP, nobody.
And
with
I really
DS.
Just
well,
think
no,
it's,
I think it's a status thing.
Yeah, I think it's the, you know, the just the culture here in New York, you know, the way that people are here, you know, they're more inclined to get the fancier thing, you know.
Maybe.
And a lot more people are into sports games, and the PSP has sports games, and the DS has what, like Mario 3x3 Hoops, which is a piece of shit. I mean, let's be realistic
here. Don't dumb it down. I mean, don't.
It's so bad. I tried it. Like, a lot of people like it. I think it's crap. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just an interesting thing to see. I think another thing that that was good this year is the 360 didn't fail. It didn't flop.
Yeah.
It did healthily. Like, there great games started coming out for it. They finally got over their supply hump and started, you know, getting supply into stores. I mean, I think they hit 9 to 10 million units globally this year, which was their target. Well, maybe not. I think they might have missed it, but, like, they still got to 9 million. Especially given that they're selling, like, 3 units a week in Japan. That's, you know, still a nice achievement. I'm not one to be a front runner and, like, support Microsoft. Like, as a person, I've never really, you know, been too keen on Microsoft as a company, similar with Sony, but like this is a good machine.
They made better decisions.
Yeah, it's a good machine. They made better decisions. They have the pockets to do what Sony wants to do, but they decided not to. They thought it would be better for the consumer base. And like, if I had to actually pick a winning console for this year, I would probably say the 360. Even though personally, I enjoy my Nintendo products more, like, I think the 360 has impressed me more in terms of what it has to offer in general. Like, the only reason why I'm so enamored with, you know, my Nintendo is just because, like, I've, you know, got this affinity for Nintendo products. I like the way that they make their products, but like when I look at the launch, there was Zelda, there was Trauma Center, there was Rayman, sort of, for me, because like I think Rayman's okay, and that's it. You got Red Steel, which was a flop. Okay, mm-hmm. You got fucking
Call of Duty 3 is pretty good.
Cars, Call of Duty 3 was decent. I mean, like depending on you know what you're looking out of it, looking for from it, you know, it's good, it's decent, you know. And I don't regret my purchase. I just wouldn't wholeheartedly recommend it to everybody else, unless they just wanted to see shooting. But you know, that was a good example of shooting, and Red Steel was not. Red Steel was the one that got the most hype and sold the most. But then, like, what else do you have? Super Monkey Ball, which is hit or miss.
Oh my God. Can we please talk about Super Monkey Ball Golf?
Actually, we should put that as one of the lowlights of 2006.
Lowlights, okay. Lowlights of 2006, Super Monkey Ball Golf.
Golf.
Okay.
Holy crap. I have never seen a shittier implementation of a game ever.
Oh,
broken.
It just doesn't
completely
work.
Completely broken.
And it's not that the system can't handle it, and it's not that the other mini games aren't great. It's just that one is fucking pathetic. Like, the guy who did the mini game for golf and put it in the game, and then the quality assurance person who tested it, were both, like, part of the McDonald's help a retard out and give him the job program. It was fucking pathetic.
I'm loving it!
I'm
you bring
that.
The club back, and the monkey stays still.
Well, then you bring it forward, and he brings the club down without hitting it.
Yeah.
Then you bring the club back, and the
and
ball launches into the air 200
and, like,
yards.
Lands out of bounds.
My favorite part, using your Wii remote to control where you're looking, and then having your ball inexplicably hit for no apparent reason.
It was pathetic.
What the fuck? I mean, you look at Wii Sports Golf. That worked perfectly.
Yeah.
Well, not perfectly, but it
well,
like,
but
physically
yeah, it's a
it
way
works.
Better golf game.
Physically, it works.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much better as a golf game.
I didn't think the mechanics were that hard. I mean, like it
bring
did
him
everything
up,
else, right?
Bring it down.
Yeah.
Well,
bring it
yeah,
up.
That's the thing. The game itself, even that game, used the Wiimote like properly in a bunch of other mini games.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew what the hell they were doing. Like the capturing the motion of a swing is mm-hmm. not hard, and they even those programmers were already doing it. So I don't know mm-hmm. what the fuck happened in golf. Maybe we got some fucked up copy of the game, and they're gonna issue a recall.
Enema.
I have no idea.
Enema. You got an enema while you're programming.
God,
shit.
That was bad.
Are you gonna have to search your anal cavity while you're programming this game? Terrible.
Yeah.
That's probably like the worst
like,
worst mini game of 2006. Monkey
yeah,
Ball
but
Golf.
it was comically bad. Like it was like, how could they even put this in? Like, what were they thinking? It's like going to the store, buying a game. Bring it home, putting it in, and all the game is a screen that goes, isn't this game awesome? Aren't you having a good time playing this game? This is the best game ever. And that's it. Like, and then you're wondering, what the fuck is going on? That's how bad that fucking game was. Ugh.
You'd have to laugh because otherwise you would cry. There was many what the fuck moments while we were trying to get a handle on this on this golf game. And I gotta tell you, people, if you have invested in Monkey Ball, specifically for golf, you just got fucked royally. You just got, like, royally mountain
fucked. You got
fucked.
Fucked in the ass.
You got sweet mountain fucked. That's what you got.
Sweet mountain fucked.
Somebody get to X-axis. Well, here's what I wrote on my blog in GameSpot. Monkey Ball Banana Blitz so far is unfortunately somewhat of a disappointment. I played some during both gaming sessions. I don't yet own the game myself, so I can't speak for the single player and the minigames that I didn't play. But Monkey Golf is broken. B-R-O-W-K-N. Monkey Hovercraft is irritating. Monkey War, which is a first-person shooter, which we didn't play, thank God, was slow and mind-numbing. I think Ethan and Tony, you guys would have, like, thrown up. Red Light, Green Light is frustrating. You guys didn't play that either, thank God. Ugh. Disappointing. Like, hugely disappointing. And then, like, what else do you have for the
console? Well, the Hammer Torts, too. The Hammer Torts was
that one I liked.
Well.
I thought that was fine.
No, but that was flawed. Like for instance, when they did it in Rayman Raven Rabbids, you know, the Cow Toss, that to me seemed like it was right on. You make the spin motion, release the button at a certain time, and depending on how fast you spin, you know, wave your hand and let go at what time, that's, the cow carry. This one, for some reason, I'm spinning it just as fast as I did the first time, and I'm getting 20 feet.
Well, I mean, I really think it works just fine. Like, it depends on your release. Like, I think we just have really bad releases, because I've seen people, like, with controlled releases that do it well, consistently mm-hmm. do well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just harder to do.
Like
the home run derby, which is harder to hit the ball, you can still hit it.
Right.
And it's
home run derby is fine. I had no problem with home run derby.
It was okay.
But overall, like, when you look at the old Monkey Ball, and then this one, I don't know what the fuck happened. They took a shit in a box and sold it to me.
I gotta say that 6 mini games versus 50, that's probably why. Like, they probably rushed through to try to get all of them in. And I would rather have 10 good ones, not 50.
Oh, absolutely. I'd rather have one good one. I mean, just get something right. Don't sell a whole lot of shit. It just makes it worse. Then I have a bucket of shit.
Now the funny thing here for me is that, like, the reason why I think Rayman's only okay is because. And Ethan, I don't think you've played it yet, but like the mini games recycle. Like, basically the single, it plays out like a single player game where you start off with four mini games and one like boss level. Mm-hmm. You play those five, and Tony, I think you're absolutely familiar with Zero Day. I wrote a review on this.
Yes.
But you play five mini games, you unlock five more. You play those five, you unlock five more. You play those, you know what I mean? So they're not, well, the first thing is that they're not all open from the outset.
Right.
So if you wanted to have a party with your friends,
you have to clear the game.
You would have to sit there and clear the game first.
Yes.
And I personally don't find that wise. I would say if I wanted to play through the single player, sure, let me unlock them. But at least let me have them open for my friends to come in at a later time and play them. It's not like Super Smash Brothers where you have half of your roster, because half of your roster is already like 50,000 characters. That's fine. Right. This one, if you didn't play it at all and your friends came over, you'd be like, yeah, let's play one of five mini games.
Oh, man.
And like, they're deeper in some respects, but they're also not as pick-up-and-play fun as a Monkey Ball minigame. So if you were to give me a choice between having a party with Monkey Ball or Monkey Ball 2 and Rayman, I'd pick one of the Monkey Balls. Not Banana Blitz, but one of the GameCube ones. Because even though they only have 3 or 4 minigames, you could keep on bowling forever. You could keep on playing Monkey Target forever. Mm-hmm. I can't keep on doing that dancing minigame forever.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just couldn't.
They don't switch it up. If they switched it up enough, maybe.
Right. The thing is they don't. So Ethan, what you're going to see is that you'll play 3 unique minigames and then one minigame that you're going to see over and over and over and over again each section. And then the last minigame is either always a racing one or a shooting one.
Right.
And while personally,
racing one sucks.
Yeah, and while I personally love the shooting one, like, I could see someone getting sick of having to do that over and over and over again. So I just don't think I personally don't think they paced it properly. At the same time, like, for other people, that doesn't matter because, like, a lot of what the game has to offer is personality and humor. And, you know, I totally respect that. I just wanted more balance. So, like, I mean, when you take that into account, then you take, okay, well, we've got Zelda and Trauma Center, and those are my two, you know, most favorite games for the system. And then you look at how last week they released Baseball and Urban Champion on Virtual Console. Out of all games they could have released, Urban Champion and Baseball. And then they bothered to release Tennis the week before, okay?
Oh, Jesus.
Why download Baseball or Tennis
or Urban Champion?
When you've got Wii Sports, which came free, and those games cost $5 each. The only, like, old-school Nintendo game worth downloading on this thing, two of them, Solomon's Key and Ice Hockey.
Oh, Ice Hockey, yeah.
Kid Icarus isn't up there yet. That's what I'm saying. Why don't they put it up there?
Oh,
it's not up there
yet. Okay.
Super Mario Brothers and Legend of Zelda are always a given, so, you know, those don't count. Like, they're always going to be good. So, why release Tennis? Why? Have you ever played Tennis on the NES? That thing is like broken beyond all belief. It's terrible.
Listen, nothing compares to the pure, unique realism of Urban Champion. Let me tell you something. Let's say, I've got my fast punch, I've got my slow punch.
Where the hell?
Uh-oh.
Where the hell is Hogan's Alley? Hogan's Alley made for the Wiimote so that you could shoot at shit. Duck Hunt. Just give me Duck Hunt. I'll take Duck Hunt over Urban Champion. I mean, come on.
See, the problem
they're
with
gonna
that,
come out with Duck
is if they only if they could utilize the Wii remote to like use it as a light gun.
Right, otherwise, that's what I think they're gonna do. They have this Yeah. They actually have this compilation of mini games called Wii Play over in Japan that's coming to the States in a couple of weeks or a couple of months or so.
Okay.
And one of the mini games is like clay pigeon shooting, just like Duck Hunt, except without the dog or the ducks.
Oh, okay.
Do you guys know how that gun worked in Duck Hunt on the original NES?
It basically shot and I could be getting the process reversed, but it's something like this. It would shoot out a very bright beam of light, like a square of light on the screen.
Right.
and I guess the game would kind of like detect where that light was and see if it hit the duck.
Close. The when you pulled
was
the trigger,
the,
whole, the whole screen would go white except the pixels where the duck was, and the camera, if it was lining up with that pixel of the right color, it would you'd be a hit. Otherwise,
oh right. Okay, yeah, you're
that
right. You're right. Yeah. So it's like kind
that
of the reverse of what I said.
Yeah, but it's fucking genius. I mean, when you think about way back then, to get something to work like that, there was no camera in the gun, there was no motion recognition, nothing like that. That's fucking genius.
And you know, that's how the Wiimote works, actually, kind of. If you look at the sensor bar, the sensor bar is actually, like, the light. There are really bright, really flickering infrared lights on the left and the right of the sensor bar that we can't see, but if you take a photograph of it, you can see it. And what the remote has two tiny cameras in it that detect where those lights are. So, I don't know if you remember that we met that guy who said he started a rumor that direct sunlight would affect the sensor bar. That was false, but it does affect your remote, because I was sitting in my room trying to play Wii Sports one day, and the sun was shining really brightly outside, and my cursor was waggling and waving, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? So I went into the sensor bar calibration, and I tried to up the sensitivity of my Wiimote, and it's like, it said you should see two dots on screen. I saw six.
Nice.
Because half of that was, like, those extra four were coming from the sunlight.
Nice.
So I turned down the sensitivity of the remote, and it worked fine. But, like, basically that's what happens. And that's why if you look on the internet, you'll see all these weird stories. And here's another, I guess, interesting moment of 2006 for me, is that when you find the people found out how the sensor bar worked and started using candles.
Yeah.
Like, they would put up candles where the sensor bar was, or where it should have been, to use it as like a sensor bar. And someone even released a homemade version of the sensor bar, which was wireless. Because the big complaint is that for someone who has like a projector TV, like you
where
have to hook up your console to the projector.
Yeah.
And if your projector's behind you, where the fuck are you going to put the sensor bar?
Yep.
So someone
a lot of people
created,
are putting it on
huh?
the floor in front of the screen.
Yeah, but even then, if your projector's way behind you, like it's hard to, the sensor bar's cord is 10 feet. It's not long
enough.
No,
right, yeah. They don't sell extensions. That seemed to me to be like really stupid.
That's a short. That's a definite oversight.
The wire is very flimsy.
Yeah.
Man. And that's why like some guy said, you know what, fuck it, buy my thing, put in like two AA batteries, and it's good to go.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. I want to see what you know what people will come out with this year with the sensor bar, if they come out with extension cords or if they come out with their own, I don't know, or candles, ever burning candles or two flashlights.
Midgets.
I guess let's see. Let's talk about what we hope to see in 2007. I guess I'll go first, and I'll try to make it short because I've been rambling on and on about 2006. Mm-hmm. I think in 2007, PC gaming will stay where it is. I don't think it'll get much more popular. I think the Games for Windows initiative, will make it easier for guys like you and me, Ethan. But it won't necessarily draw in Ma or Pa, like Nintendo.
Not yet, but it's going in the right direction from what we
I think it
about.
Is, but I don't think that's going to happen this year, and I honestly think that it's going to end up making it easier for us and just the same for everyone else, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone else still loves Bejeweled.
Mm-hmm.
But for high-end gaming, the Games for Windows initiative is not going to make it any more appealing for the casual gamer to get into Half-Life, for example.
Yeah.
I think it's an initiative that makes it easier for us, and I thank God for it. I love the fact that they're doing it. It just won't necessarily help too much. I think we'll see the PlayStation 3 hit its stride next holiday season in terms of the games released. I think Nintendo is going to have a very hard year this year because WarioWare is going to come out, and then it's going to be nothing. And then Metroid and Mario are going to come out in the winter. What the fuck is going to happen in between? I think it's going to be the Nintendo DS launch all over again, which I hated. Nintendo DS launch came out with no games worth owning. None. Not even Super Mario 64 DS, which was a port of a great game, but you didn't have an analog stick. So what were you going to do with it? And so while I was sitting there playing the only game that I actually liked, which is Asphalt Urban GT, I mean, that's not worth getting a system for, but it was a fun game. You know, all the way up until March, there was nothing that really, like, that I could really say I'm proud to own a DS until WarioWare and Yoshi came out. Okay? Those came out, and then that was it for another 3 months.
Wow.
Until Meteos came out and Kirby came out. And that was it until finally in August of 2005, the DS finally like hit it big when Advance Wars came out, Nintendogs came out, Castlevania came out, Mario Kart came out, Tony Hawk came out, Animal Crossing came out. All the shit came out and it exploded and the PSP started crying. But until then, the DS was a failure, like totally wasted. And after people finish Zelda, they're going to be waiting for shit to come out. And they're going to be like, what the hell do I play? And aside from downloading Virtual Console games, which is a great idea, I got Castlevania 4 and it's awesome. Like, if they keep on putting out shit like baseball, like, watch them put out, like, oh, I don't know, name some shitty game from... Watch them put out, like, Gyromite.
Oh, God.
Or some dumb shit like that.
They'll package the Rob Robot in.
Right. So, you know, so what happens between now and fucking the holiday season for the Nintendo thing? I mean, like, PlayStation 3, I don't think was going to ever be successful in this first year anyway, but, like, you know that come the winter, like, there are going to be tons of third-party shit, because third parties are looking to do 360 PS3 ports. Whatever comes to the 360 is going to the PS3. And at the very least, PS3 owners will have that to fall back on. People who own Nintendo, the Nintendo console, are not going to be able to fall back on a Splinter Cell that is like the 360 version, because it's not going to be like the 360 version. Mm-hmm. It's going to be watered down. So I think Nintendo's looking for a world of hurt this coming year. Unless they can get something to fill in for spring and summer, early summer and late spring. They need to have something to come out there. And I just don't think that's going to happen. I think in terms of the market, they won't care because, like, your grandmother doesn't care about Metroid. She'll be having fun. They will sell. Oh, believe me, they're going to sell throughout this whole year. But people like you and me and Al are going to be hurting for some games. Maybe not Al, because he'll find – one of his gifts is he'll find a way to have fun with something. That's a compliment, because like he manages to like find a game and enjoy it. Like, I have ADD. I can't sit there and enjoy one thing, so I need to find other things.
Right.
You know, so I'm going to be sitting there going like, "Okay, I finished Zelda." Well, which I won't have finished Zelda. But I'll be sitting there going like, "What else is there?" I'm so tempted to get Red Steel just to see how bad it is, because there's nothing else out there.
Right.
That's how bad I think the situation is for me. And I think the 360 is going to have another stellar year. It's going to have BioShock. It's going to have Mass Effect. Halo 3 is probably going to come out, I would assume, in the late fall, just like Halo 2 and Halo 1 came out. And I think it will probably sell, like, 4 million units worldwide within this, like, first week. Something like that. That's how well Halo 2 did, I think. So I'm pretty sure that that's a safe bet, if not more. And lastly, I think we will see a Guitar Hero 3. And maybe Stairway to Heaven will be on it.
Oh, God.
That's all I can say. All right, I'll pass the buck to one of you guys.
Me!
Okay, Tony, go.
Okay. This is wishful thinking, but I'm looking forward to the absolute total humiliation of Sony with their PS3 unit. I hope that it's going to be mired with games that are worthwhile to buy, but they're going to have production delays, either because of the programming for the handle or because it just doesn't play well at all. And I hope they are mired so much that people finally go, hey, listen, I just bought a guaranteed $600 piece of shit.
Oh, and... wait, Tony, while you're saying that, you just gave me one other prediction for 2007.
Yes.
The PS2 will not be dead in 2007 because of this.
Agree.
It will not. No. Because when you got games like Okami and God of War 2 still coming out, it's still... has some place. What, because PS2, nobody's going to buy the PS3.
I think
it's still a great system. There's so many good games for PS2.
Yeah, I think the PS2 will still sell about 500,000 units before it dies out.
That's fine.
People
That's
love
fine.
The thing.
And, it's gonna and it'll drop to $99.
Oh, yeah. It'll drop to $99, and then it'll sell like 79,000 million quadrillion.
Right.
Go ahead, Tony.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just have to throw
that
in there.
No. That's it. That's absolute. I just want to see him take a huge dump, an even bigger dump on the PS3. I mean, huge.
Big brother dumps on little brother.
So I'm looking forward to that. As far as the Wii, it's disappointing and it's a very bleak outlook when you put it the way you have, as far as the game releases and stuff like that. But I still enjoy the system, and so long as I can fall back on GameCube games, I'm pretty happy.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
As far as the 360, I'm looking forward to a price drop that'll actually give me the drive to buy it, because it, you know, to me, Gears of War is not really a selling point for me to buy it.
Really?
Hmm. Games, it's not really, you know, because if I buy the system now at $300 for Gears of War, which is $60, okay, then who knows, later on, you know, 6 months from now, they drop it to $250 and Gears of War is $30.
You're just talking about strategizing your pricing.
Yeah, strategizing exactly what I'm getting. And
sure,
then,
no, absolutely, you should wait
and
for the price
And then maybe
drop.
There'll be another game for $60 that is like, it blows Gears of War away.
Right.
So, sure.
Halo
3.
I shouldn't say that because I don't like Halo, but right. Go ahead.
Right, but I would buy the system at a diminished price. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I'll own either the 360 or even a Xbox. You know, who knows? Mm-hmm. Later on this year. But I'm not looking forward to it, like, immediately. I have enough on my hands with the Wii, with my computer games, with my PSP. And that's another thing. I'm looking forward to the PSP dying. Just dying.
But you have one. Don't you want to love it and nurture it?
Put the system out of its misery. They're bringing out shit games. The only game that I'm actually looking forward to was the Star Wars
Lego
the
Star
trilogy
Wars
game. Yeah. And because they said, I believe you said, that it plays like really, really well on the PS4.
This is only what I've heard, though. So you're
okay.
Right. It's what
so
they
it
said.
Might be hearsay, but you know, let's just put it this way. It can't play any worse. There's a lot of games that play horribly for the system. There's a lot. For the life of me, this is how desperate I think PSP gamers are. Like a game that I look at, like Metal Gear Acid, okay, where it's a card-based battle system.
Oh, those games are cool, though.
I actually look at that and I'm like, what the fuck? Why couldn't they just put Metal Gear Solid on there?
Which they did.
They did?
Yeah. Metal Gear Solid Portable Ops.
No. I'm talking about actual Metal Gear, Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, a remake of the first game?
Yeah, exactly. Or Sons of Liberty, or a game that was actually great. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, well,
why couldn't they do that? But I'm complaining.
Portable
but,
Ops is
case,
actually supposed to, like people like that game, I think. But I haven't played it. I'm not a Metal Gear Solid fan anyway, so.
Yeah,
I actually got Metal Gear Acid 2 because I'd rather have that than a regular Metal Gear game. Like, I just bought it on sale because I like tactical games, so, like,
okay.
That's why I bought it. But
yeah, and, you know, they have other games which are just equally bad on the system. This system just, it needs somebody to either make games or they need to drop it. I mean, plain and simple, they need to drop it because I'm tired of buying shit games.
I would say that, I mean, the difference is, like, with the PSP and the DS, I think they both have the same ratio of great to good to shitty games, mm-hmm. with the Nintendo DS maybe having a few more great games and the great games are better. But
right.
like the huge difference is price and
right.
loading time and battery
right.
life. Those are huge
right.
for portable gamers. Otherwise, right. like it's kind of sad because like the PSP does have some good games. Like I mean, I couldn't rattle off 10 titles that I really really want, but like
mm-hmm.
there's still a handful of games that I'm glad that I own the system for.
Mm-hmm.
Valkyrie Profile being one of them. But it's just
right,
upsetting
exactly.
because it has a lot of potential. But
right.
you know,
Ethan, you go. I'm sorry about that.
What do you hope to see in 2007, dog?
I don't know what I hope to see, but what I think we will see is a real resurgence of, well, not resurgence, but surgence of keyboards and mice on console. So,
no!
Once, yeah, the keyboard and mouse for PS3 and Xbox 360, actually. I think it's going to really change a little bit, like, how badly the PS3 is doing. And probably increase sales for Xbox. I say that Nintendo picks up the number one sales of consoles for 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox number two, and PS3 is number three, but it doesn't do as badly as people think it will because of the mouse and keyboard thing. And I think, I'm wondering actually if Nintendo's going to come out with something as well. Even though the Wii Remote still is awesome, when you're playing a first-person shooter and it's really, they've done a great job moving the remote around, you can't, like, holding your arm up like that, doing that shit forever blows, frankly. And it's not steady, and that's because your hand isn't steady. So while it's really accurate, it's too accurate.
Use your knee.
It
works.
You're still holding your wrist, and your hand isn't as accurate when it's leaning on a thing that's sitting on a desk.
Attach it to your nipple.
I'll do that. At any rate, I think the third party, one place to look for new money is third party, not keyboards, but. Like FPS or controller-style
mm-hmm.
button systems that map to the keyboard slots, or if it's USB, whatever, on the 360 and PS3. And so you have these kind of third-party awesome control schemes with wireless mice and wireless
They actually came out with a device that you can plug your keyboard and mouse into a 360.
Yeah, I heard about that.
They had one for the PS2 and the Xbox, and I don't know if this is the same company that's making it, but it's coming out. You can also plug your PS2 controller in it. I don't know why you'd want to, because personally, I dislike the PS2 controller when compared to the 360. Like, I like 360 so much better, the controller. But yeah, you can do that. So, I mean, you're already right.
Well, but nobody's really doing it yet. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of games that showcase control schemes with mouse and keyboard on consoles.
What the hell are the USB ports on these systems for?
That, partially. I mean, a lot of people are saying you can do it. You can use USB. But the other thing is...
You can plug your iPod into it and use it as a media center, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, they, you know, their strategy was to make, like, this computer console hybrid thing that people would not buy a PC.
Well, the thing Well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I think over the year, you're going to start to see a little bit of that come true. And especially with the Xbox 360, the really kind of funny thing is, if they can really put on like a little version of some word processing software of Office, basically, I'd really like to see how that works. Because it's kind of a big deal.
I got some contentions with that whole strategy. I'll wait till you're done.
No, I know. I do too. I just think that it might work. People, like, if let's say they have a PC, they buy a PC, they do Office applications, they do all this other shit. And then they can do it on their console. They may just stop buying some of the PC stuff over the long term. I think you start to see that next year.
I don't know about that. Are you done with your predictions? Because I'm done. Address that. It's a very interesting point, though. That's a great discussion. Shit, we should have had this for like next week's discussion. That'd be cool. But like, I think here's the reason why Microsoft won't do it. It's because they want to keep on selling Windows to their Windows customers. They don't want to cannibalize Windows with Xbox. They don't want to cannibalize Word. They don't want to cannibalize that shit. They're way too smart to like to offer this shit in a cheaper console when they could be charging huge license fees for Windows vendors and, you know, selling their operating system. They would rather press Word onto a disc in Office where they could sell Office for $300 than have it available for cheap on a $300 console.
Can I just pipe in real quick there?
Sure.
Microsoft sees the fact that open source OSs and the other stuff are taking over. I don't think they see it as a long time viable strategy. And they're going to make, if they charge, you know, $100 for Office, that's basically what they're making on Office now for PC. So they're making the same money. The only thing that they're going to lose on is their OS. And I think they see their OS losing, except in the business place where this isn't going to take over at all. So they're still going to play with it.
But I think that's the thing, is that they see it losing now, but that's why they're coming out with Vista. And that's why they're improving everything that, well, they see it as an improvement.
Yeah, it is, but they're not making money on Vista as a from a home user. They're selling it with new PCs. Like, the money they make from people actually upgrading OSs is nothing.
Right, but what I'm saying, but they still have to sell that OS to the vendors, right?
Oh, absolutely. But
so
they'll
in selling
still do
it,
that.
What I'm saying though is, in selling it to the vendors, they're indirectly selling it to consumers who will be using their OS, their products, their upgrades, their drive, everything of theirs, everything that's standardized towards a Microsoft OS. And I personally think that as much as you and I think that it's a good idea, I mean, we are kind of living in a little bubble where, like, we're familiar with technology. If you, like, the average Xbox 360 owner out there is not going to want to see a keyboard and mouse on his console. He's just not. He thinks that the keyboard and mouse is inferior, too clunky, and he won't spend the time to learn it like we have. And that's not to detract from that person, because it's just some people prefer different things and they just won't change. It's like me.
No, that,
I'll refuse
that's
to play a first-person shooter with a gamepad, even if it sometimes offers it, because, like, you know, like when you leave the analog stick alone, it's steadier than a mouse if you have shaky hands. You know what I mean? There's, like, to me, there's no advantage of the pad. So, like, to them, to the mainstream, to the people who are not like us, it's very hard to say that, oh, they'd love to have a keyboard or mouse, because they had the Dreamcast mouse. Hardly anyone got that. People were like, what the fuck is this? I like to play it like GoldenEye.
I have to totally disagree. I think that their number one consideration is going to be value. And if they don't need to buy their $400 PC that all they're using is Office and Internet, and they can get that same functionality on their game console, which they're definitely going to buy, they're going to do that.
That's an intelligent consumer talking. I don't think too many people are intelligent consumers.
No, that's a cheap consumer talking. That's a non-intelligent consumer talking. That's a consumer that doesn't know anything about PCs and doesn't want to have to deal with it. Doesn't want to have to deal with all the configuration options. Doesn't want to have to deal with calling up Dell and being like, are they going to sell me $400 worth of shit that I don't want? I think most people's experience with PCs when they don't know them really, really well is bad. They don't like them. They have to use them.
Right, but I think that's the thing, that Microsoft is not going to give them that outlet to use the 360 as a PC-like device.
I think they're going to have to, because Sony's going to do it. I mean, getting something to read and write Word files is going to is no problem, whether it's Word or not. Sorry, go ahead.
I also got to say, from a marketing perspective, that's a really dumb move.
Oh, I disagree.
No, I know you do, but my reasoning is, like, it's all about the image, and they want to convey this image of home media center, home entertainment. They don't want to make it a working machine. Once you put that productivity shit on there, it dilutes the image of it as, like, you know, a media behemoth, a fun
thing. I think that's
thing.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting argument. I think that but I think they're going to have to. I think that Sony goes the other way, goes to, like, totally productive machine.
I don't think they're going to go totally productive.
Oh no! Not, you know what I mean. Their marketing effort is to say this does everything. This is the, you know, it's not just a console; it's a computer.
Right. Though remember, you must remember though that later, after, like, everyone gave Phil Harrison shit for that, he retracted that. He retracted that directly, and he said, "I only meant for media things. You won't need to browse the web or look at YouTube on your PC. I never meant to replace working software."
Right. And we'll see.
And I don't
we'll
think
see.
They want to do that, and I don't think they should. I really don't, from a marketing perspective, from an image perspective, I don't think they should. And personally, for someone like you and me, I would rather have a dedicated work machine, and I don't want to mix that
so
with
would
the
I.
console.
So would I. I don't like that the direction, and I hope you're right. I see it going the other way.
I don't know. Like, again, like, I think people's perceptions are going to override their intelligence. And even though there is the interest of value, I realize, I think, when it comes down to it, someone who's that concerned about value, who needs to, like, do shit, like, get stuff on the web, get their email out, and, like, do their work stuff, they won't want it. They won't have time to sit there and, you know, play games, and they won't understand, like, the ease of use of a console with a keyboard on it. You know what I mean?
I disagree. I really think that once they see one person doing it, or Sony really starts to hype it up that you can do all that shit on your console, people are going to start doing it. It is easy. It's just not a complicated thing.
Well, it's not standardized either. That's the thing. Well, if that's what you're saying, that they're going to try to make it standardized, then
you're talking about four.
I just don't think it's smart. I don't think they're going to do it, and I think it's dumb. Like,
I think Sony's going to do it. So we'll see.
Oh, maybe that's why they'll fail next year.
Maybe. Yay!
Any other predictions for 2007? Because I think like I just jumped in there.
Oh.
I don't know if you finished yet. That's what I'm saying.
No, I think you were actually going. And I jumped
in. Oh, I went already.
No, so did I.
Oh, well, Tony went already too, so we're done. Al? Al? Oh, that's right. His mic is busted.
Busted?
No, it's not busted. It's brusted.
It's brusted.
It's brusted, like breast.
You gotta clarify.
Yeah. Brusted. Yes. Yeah, so, for anyone wondering where Al is, he's currently burying his mic in the
backyard.
Sucking
my dick.
After he cremated his mic, he's burning it. He's burying it, and he's saying it's last rites because it
Al,
died.
Because you're not here, I'm gonna take this opportunity. Yet. You suck.
Hey. Why I gotta be like that?
That's actually pretty good impression.
Actually, I think he was using one of his dreadlocks as a mic, so he might have to get another extension. I'm not sure.
Oh, so, man.
Sorry, Al. Say hello to Abby for me. I'm my kid.
All right. I think that wraps it up. If any of you have comments or questions that you never do, please send them to mailbag at trygames.net. How do you spell that, Ethan? There you go. Thank you.
M with a J, A with a B, I with a C, L is a B, B A G is a Y O U.
I can spell it in less than a second.
What are you, Peter Griffin? So that's it. Send your comments, send your predictions, if you have any, for the next year in gaming to the mail.
Or even really funny junk mail. But it has to be really funny.
Well, I got one here from Aiden Baker, who the three steps of the software do you need at the prices you want. Oh, it's a picture of a ball.
Sweet.
It's great. No. All right. That about wraps it up for Tony and Ethan and the Morning Al. Morning is Mike. I've been your host, Mr. Chupan. This head. I think we'll end right there.
You need to stop playing around with all the clowns and the wanksters. Good girls gotta get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back.